that whenever you feel love, you literally begin to glow? Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, March 15th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. It is, I'm sorry I have to brag, it is another gorgeous sunny blue sky day here in Los Angeles, and I want to thank you for joining us here. We love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those 10 numbers are 347-857-2710. And if you'd like to reach us through email, please do so at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. Well, this show is a little bit more special to me than most of the other shows because it resonates with an experience that I had myself, but I have a delightful guest on the show today, so let's get started. Almost everyone knows someone who is impacted by Alzheimer's or dementia. Singer Glen Campbell and legendary women's basketball coach Pat Summitt are just two people who recently announced their battle with this dreaded disease. And my guest today has a very unique story of her own that she's going to share with us. She is an actress who has appeared on True Blood, Grey's Anatomy, and Cold Case, but her most challenging role has been in real life, being the caregiver for her mother, Cece, who lives with Alzheimer's. My guest found that writing poetry helped her express the pain of witnessing her mother's journey, and her book, Searching for Cece, Reflections on Alzheimer's, gracefully gives voice to her inner life in a way that provides catharsis and encouragement. So please give a very warm welcome to a very talented and courageous woman, Judy Prescott. Hey,
thank
Judy.
Thank you. Oh, Lauren, thank you so much. It's so nice to be with you.
It's so lovely to have you here, and we just spoke just a few minutes before air, and we do share something in common, and that is that our mothers, my mother, unfortunately, passed away from Alzheimer's, and your mother, Cece, is dealing with this terrible disease. And if I may, just before we start chatting, I loved your book, Searching for Cece, Reflections on Alzheimer's, but I would love to read one of my favorite poems that you read. It so resonated with me, and it's called Proof.
Oh, wonderful. I'd love to hear that. Yes, please.
Okay. She disappears before me, silently slipping into a realm in which I don't figure, quietly busying herself with new vistas devoid of reason. If she cannot know me, do I exist? My history is erased systematically as each neuron misfires and no longer seeks its intended connection. As the night rain displaces the dust of daily life, so am I displaced, destined to build my own boat and sail to higher ground. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful, and for me just sums up what being a caregiver is like for a parent, a loved one with the disease. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I wrote that I think at the stage of her illness where I just couldn't believe it was happening, and I guess that sort of shows, I couldn't sort of say, I thought, well, if Mom doesn't know that I'm her daughter Judy, then who am I? Do you know what I mean? It was that crazy that I just couldn't sort of believe that stage of the illness. It's quite a loss at that time, and you just find yourself baffled. And I guess writing that helped me to understand and helped me to tell myself it was time to just, find my own inner strength, I guess.
And that is that where the poetry writing comes from? How did that all begin?
I think so. You know, when I was a kid in New Jersey, I had a best friend, and she died of heart failure. And I guess they all kind of knew when I was little that this was going to happen, but they didn't tell me, so it was quite a shock. And I remember at the time, that sort of generation, my parents, they said, don't let anybody see that you're upset, or, they're already upset enough. Let's kind of move on, and that didn't work, obviously. So I started writing at a young age to try to figure out what it was that I was feeling and how to express myself in that way to make things easier for myself, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, when you're confronted with any challenges in life, be it with an illness, with a parent, a friend, or just the circumstances of your life, you have feelings about it. And so otherwise, if we don't express them, they get buried deep inside our cute little bodies and go on. You know what? We're sexy women. We want to maintain that figure. We don't need some dis-ease.
Strange lumps. Yes,
well, that's right. You know, the lumps on the hips. We don't want that disease floating down. You know, there's time for that, but it's true. It's a great way express your feelings and to also reflect on, hey, I'm feeling that. That's really interesting. I had no clue.
Exactly. Why am I so stunned? What is this feeling? Yeah, identifying it. Exactly.
And I think we also have other similarities. I mean, you have two brothers, so they're siblings. You have siblings, and as I'm the second of two children, I have an older brother, and so I want to know if you experienced this as well with your mother. I realized my place in my family through my mother's illness. It was, if you could look at something so devastating through positive eyes, I got the chance to really figure out who I was.
Yeah.
That my brother was the favorite. It wasn't pretty. I mean, did you have anything like that?
That is hilarious. That is so funny. I just realized, that there were my siblings and I all had absolutely different ideas of what exactly was going on. And I tend to be more take the bull by the horns and, you know, choke it to death. I get an idea and I want to pursue it. And there was a lot more on my brother's side. They were, you know, I would go back and stay in her home and live with her, and from California, because she's all the way in Maine. So I would see what was going on, and she wasn't able to hide it from me. So I guess I got a different view, and I knew earlier on that it was a serious problem.
What were the signs? What were the first signs that you thought something just wasn't right?
Well, my mom's always been really funny. I think I got engaged, and the last time she came out to see me in California, we were in a restaurant, and she just looked at her wallet, and she said, "Do you think I'll live long enough to get a good driver's license picture?" And, you know, it was very funny in the moment, but right after that, she started to really exhibit signs of a problem. We got married. She came out to the wedding, and she got lost in the airport. And there happened to be someone standing nearby who was listening to her conversation, who was going to our same wedding, who helped her get there. And at the wedding, she was very reclusive. She wasn't at all social. She wasn't comfortable. She was fearful. And after that, I went back to stay with her, and I realized she wasn't managing her paperwork, which was really easy for her. She wasn't able to do her bills or do anything, and things were just stockpiling up. It was a disaster. That was sort of the first clue.
Yeah. There's. And how long has she had this disease? How long has she been living with it?
Well, I would say she's had it about 10 or 11, maybe 11 years. So she's in the late stages right now. She's not able to move her body on its own anymore. She can move her hands a bit and her feet, and she's still sort of funny. You know, she can roll her eyes sometimes at some, still with my hair. I have very curly hair that's often, in her mind, a disaster. She straightened hers. Hers looked very pretty. And mine is all over the place. And she still manages every now and then to roll the eyes. And I say, "I know, Mom, it's terrible, isn't it?" And, you know, I think I still deal with, like you were talking about, how you deal with so many things like this with humor. And I do it with my mom still. I still try to use humor. And she was such a funny person. So it's really interesting. But she's, you know, she can't talk or walk right now, but she is very content. The people who care for her are so amazing. She makes them laugh. She'll do things to make them laugh. So it's just a fascinating thing. She's in there. She is Cece still 100%. It's just that she does not have the facility to communicate in the way that we would like her to, of course, that we could understand.
Yeah, that's I think the frustrating part of it when someone has this disease, that somebody is bottled up inside, and that person that you know can't come out and play with you.
Exactly. And I think last time I was there about a month ago, and she was flipping her tongue sort of over and over and over and trying desperately to tell me something. Her eyes are very clear and very direct. And I said, "What, Mom? I know you love me. Is that what you're trying to tell me?" And she kind of would relax. You know, she's trying to talk to me. And I guess that's one thing, Lauren, that I would encourage other people to understand is stay with them. Stay with them. Keep visiting them. It means something to them. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I'd like to remember them, her, the way she was." But the truth is she's still there. She's just got a different way.
Exactly. And if we realize that life is a circle, right?
Right.
So they, I have to tell you this funny story, and I'm sure you have, that they become childlike.
Yes.
My mother, the first home that she was in, long story short, my mother didn't want to live with another woman in her room, but we had to have
like
a,
my mom.
Seriously,
yeah.
They must know each other.
Oh, yes.
And so this facility said, okay, well, my mother met this guy named Tony, this Italian man, and everybody in this facility, they didn't necessarily have Alzheimer's, but it was they just needed care. It was assisted living.
Sure.
So yeah. I come to visit my mother one day, and I stop at the nurse's station, and they said, "Lauren, we need to talk to you about your mother." I said, "Yes, what seems to be going on?" She says, "Well, we just want to let you know, don't be alarmed, but your mother fell, and she has bruises on her body." And I said, "Oh, really? Okay, how did this happen?" She says, "Well, she and Tony were having sex in the bed, and
oh.
She fell out." I said, "That's my mother."
Oh, my gosh. It's
funny. I said, you know, you can go through a certain illness in your life, but, you know, God love everyone. You don't change. That beauty of who you are still hangs on.
Oh, it's true. The women when Mom was still in the assisted living side, those women, my mom is so pretty. She's young. She got this very young, and she's very tall, and she has black hair and blue eyes. And the men love my mom. And so the women did not like Mom from early on. It was very funny. But she had sort of a boyfriend who she liked, and that was not great because he had someone on the outside, you know. But, yeah, you just all bets are off. And
yeah, but it's funny. It's kind of funny to watch. But the unfortunate thing is when my mother had a little seizure, so she had to go to the hospital. And so Tony went to the hospital, and unfortunately Tony passed away.
Oh.
But my mother never remembered Tony.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. They live absolutely in the moment, whatever is right in front of them.
Yeah.
And the other funny thing I have to tell you, Lauren, is my mother was the best escape artist in her facility when she was in this. It was half assisted living and then a dementia unit that was locked. She would sit by the door that went out into the rest of the assisted living with her purse and her coat on and clutching her purse sort of with her hat, and people would come in to visit someone, and she'd say, "Oh, hello," and she'd just take the door and leave.
Brilliant.
And she was so funny, and she got so many people fired for that. But she was excellent at it because she's very charming, and she knew exactly what to do, and she'd just get out of there. So, and she, in this current facility where she is now, she's the expert shopper, they call it, the person who goes into everyone's room and just takes everything. They call her, they said, "Oh, Cece's our best shopper." But now she's in a wheelchair, she can't do that as much. But like we're talking about, they're in the moment. They, whatever's in front of them, whatever's bright and shiny or interesting, oh, let's pick that up, you know?
Yeah. Your clothes, I remember, you know, I thought, you know, my mother, I'll have to dress my mother in the manner and style to which she's accustomed. So
right.
I bought silk, very, not high-end silk, but I thought, okay, my mother will like that. It's very pretty. It's very feminine. It's very, like, couture. And then I saw her one day. I thought, what happened to that shirt? It's now pink and has blue dots. I thought, okay,
oh, yeah.
But it was a realization of, letting go.
To let go, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say that, Lauren. That is such a hard thing. And to understand that it doesn't matter to them anymore if they're wearing sweatpants and some man's Mickey Mouse T-shirt, you know?
Just, right, but I'm sure you maybe have felt this or feeling this too, is that it's hard to come to terms with letting go of
who we know them to be.
We want to remember them and keep that alive, and they'll always be who they are to us, no matter what. But it's that loss that's challenging.
It's a very big loss. Yes, it certainly is. And then. I know exactly what you're talking about. And to let go of that idea we have of them. And it's funny, I don't know if this happened to you, Lauren, but I have dreams sometimes where my mother's as she was. And it's very interesting, you know, that I can see my mother how she was, because I've seen her for so long in this way. It's kind of a bit disturbing, and yet, you know.
Well, probably your subconscious perhaps might want to keep that memory
that alive. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I wanted to share some startling statistics about Alzheimer's, that one out of seven people with Alzheimer's lives alone, and up to half of these individuals do not have an identifiable caregiver.
Oh, so devastating, yes.
And I know there's some kind of Governor Brown here in California is trying to eliminate funds from in-home caregiving services, which is so harsh. It's, as I was starting to tell you earlier, I think sometimes people need to know that Alzheimer's does not necessarily affect just that older generation.
For sure, yeah.
And so you say, okay, yeah, somebody's 75, 80, who cares? They're going to probably die anyway, you know, that kind of an attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of saying, hey, there's people like Judy Prescott, there's people like Lauren Leibowitz.
Yeah.
We're the people that are really impacted by this disease, more so than the people that have it. They don't even know they have it.
It's true. There are, I guess, what, 14.9 million American caregivers out there doing what, trying to their best with this problem. It's just astounding. And I think Alzheimer's gets about 6% of the funding that cancer gets. So it's a problem.
It is a problem, though. I must say, in my little high horse here about charities, and please forgive me, all you other charities, there's so many worthwhile charities out there. Having worked with the Alzheimer's Association myself, most of the money that is raised does go to that charity. You know, there's an article in some kind of, World News Report or some magazine that gives the top 100 charities,
mm-hmm.
and their ratio of fundraising to actually benefiting the cause themselves, because sometimes charities have too large of an overhead, and so the money raised always goes to the overhead and not to the cause itself.
Oh, that's wonderful that they're up there. And, yeah, $1 of every book that we sell of Searching for Cece goes to the Alzheimer's Association, so we're excited about that.
Great. And how can people get your book? Please share that with us.
Well, it's available at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any independent bookstore. And if you go to judyprescott.com, my website, there are links for all of those places there.
Wonderful.
And I have this wonderful new page on my website. It's a community page, and I'm inviting anyone who has a story like we're talking about, Lauren, anybody who's been through this, who would like to share if they, you know, in my book is a lot of art and done by my family members, and anybody who would like to share a painting or something that they've drawn or a story, a few words or a poem, we're putting them all on this website, and it's a community page where everybody can go and see what other people are experiencing and how other people are expressing themselves.
Yes, a couple of things. One, I wanted to share. There was I'm trying to find the actual picture that I so loved in here, and I by your mother's niece.
Oh yes, how wonderful! My cousin Anne.
She did a lot. This one looks like the two faces.
Oh, isn't that extraordinary? It's on the cover. and it's on the back of the book as well, in that...
Yes, that's the one, yes.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary piece, and people think she actually, that looks like Mom, but it's a beautiful painting, isn't it? I grew up with these amazing artists in my family, and I had no idea how unusual that was, including my brother Tom. He's an amazing painter. His work is in here, and Anne, who you've mentioned, Mom, has done these incredible wood sculptures as well.
Yeah.
And my Aunt Sue, who's also of the older generation in her 70s, she's done all these amazing pieces as well. So it's really quite nice. It's nice for me to look at those pieces. I think they make the poems more powerful.
Well, it's a family project. I like that. I like that everybody has participated their own creativity, style, and unique. And I would love it. I mean, if you somehow could get all these paintings together and make note cards, I would.
Oh,
so,
what a neat idea!
That's
you
know,
a wonderful idea.
Well, the idea is complimentary. But yeah. I would love to.
that is such a wonderful idea. Yeah, and maybe raise money for Alzheimer's.
Yes, even so, I'm an old-fashioned girl. I'm a note writer.
I am too.
So,
yeah.
And I'm very struck by color, visual, shouts at me. Hey, Lauren, come over here. So,
yeah, exactly.
I would love to use these paintings. They're the San Diego chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. You know, each chapter, city
mm-hmm.
chapter, had something a little bit different, had a program for these Alzheimer's patients where they would paint. And so
exactly, yes.
They took their paintings, which are amazing.
Oh,
some of them are amazing. And they had an auction and auctioned off the paintings, and then they took some of them and did what I just suggested to you, is put them on cards.
Yeah, wow,
and
wonderful.
It's beautiful. It's just, and it's another way to celebrate your mom. And it's all about celebrating your mom and her life. And
that's a wonderful idea. And the last painting in the book was actually done by Mom. And it's interesting because all the artists in the book, except for my brother, of course, are from my father's side of the family. He's got quite an artistic side.
Mm-hmm.
But Mom did this amazing picture of these flowers in the back. She painted it, and we didn't even know she could paint. She did that when she was... about 5 years into Alzheimer's. So,
really, that's beautiful.
Isn't that amazing?
That it is. And I see there's a picture of your mother here from 1970,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
In the back of the book is a picture of you. Beautiful,
yes.
You're beautiful.
Oh,
and
thank you.
And I see the resemblance, you know, of you and your mom. It's
except
beautiful.
One has the straight hair.
That's right.
And one has.
I mean, your curls are beautiful. Do you
in
love
that
your
picture?
Hair?
Yes. Yes. No, I'm kidding.
Are you a woman that loves her curly hair?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, because you often hear, oh, gosh, I want straight hair. I hate my curls.
I love it. It drove my mother crazy, but I love it.
You love it,
I look very strange with straight hair, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just terrific. Yeah, well, I would definitely, hook me up with a book of cards. And,
okay.
And a donation to the Alzheimer's Association. So if our listeners are so inclined, and I know they will be because we have great listeners, mm-hmm. would want to donate besides buying your book,
yeah.
Is there a way that our listeners can help out in some way?
Oh, absolutely. I would say through the Alzheimer's Association, you can visit alzheimers.org or call their wonderful, it's 24/7 number, 1-800-272-3900. That's 1-800-272-3900. But yeah, I think it's wonderful if you'd like to donate. And on my website, there is all that information. I have a wonderful page of resources, and it gives you every single number that you would need to donate, to find what you're looking for, wonderful books, facilities that help caregivers, lots of resources, and lots of really great children's books as well to help the kids. I have a 5-year-old who has grown up with my mom, being sick. So,
yeah, that's a great help indeed. So if you could give or share one piece of advice for other people that are going through a similar situation or about to embark on a similar situation, what would you suggest to them?
You know, I think I would suggest to quietly sort of step into their world, into the Alzheimer's patient's world, and not try to pull them back into your world. I think it's a disservice. It causes such confusion, and it's all about letting go. We have to learn to let go and to live our lives and to take care of ourselves also. As caregivers, it's very difficult. You have to remember to put your oxygen mask on first so that you can be helpful and eat and sleep and take care of yourself and continue talking to others about this problem and looking for a support group if that's necessary for you.
Yes, yes, and to realize that there is help out there and you are not alone. And like you said, the Alzheimer's Association is a wonderful resource.
And you know what? I have to tell you, Lauren, there is an amazing group out here. I'm in California also. I'm in Los Angeles, and it's called Lisa's Place.
Yes.
And they're all over. Yeah. And yes. I just love Stephanie at Lisa's Place. I think she's extraordinary. And I've gone in there, and I've watched what they do with the patients. The patients are in one room having a group, and the caregivers are having coffee and talking to each other. And it's just an amazing place. And I went in there to talk about the book and this and that. And when I left, Stephanie said, Judy, I just want you to know I'm here for you. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And she's like, do I have to out you? You're a caregiver. And I just burst into tears. And, you know, so I feel like Stephanie is now my support group. And Lisa's Place is really an extraordinary group. So,
yes, for those that don't know, it's Lisa Gibbons, who had a talk show here in Los Angeles a few years ago. And her mother, her own mother, had Alzheimer's. And so this was her contribution to helping her mother, and consequently has been helping lots of other mothers with a place to go to during the day with care giving and other resources. So it is definitely a wonderful place to be. And I also want to share one helpful hint that I experience is that it can be overwhelming to find the right facility for your parent. So
yeah.
There's an organization called ElderLink, which is a free
Ooh.
Service. So you can go to Irene Wexler is the owner of ElderLink, and she can help you with all of your needs so that you can have, let's say, three choices and then choose from there instead of going out and being, oh, my God, what's the right place? So it's a wonderful.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know where the time went. We'll have to get together for coffee on our own.
I'd love it.
Do FaceTime and just, and I want to give you a big hug because I know this is a challenging experience for you, and I want you to know that I too am there for you.
Aren't you wonderful,
I understand.
Lauren. Thank you so much.
And thank you for sharing your beautiful book of poetry and art. And you can contact Judy at judyprescott.com. And please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, as my guest will be author of The Core Balance Diet, Marshall Pick. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. We're going to leave you with Keith Chagall and Flight of the Monarchs.